So when are we gonna, like, where are we starting the recording at? Is this like part of the podcast?
Hey Griffin over here.
Seriously.
Wait, like how long is this supposed to last?
I believe we'll crawl out of above freezing by Friday or Saturday.
But
the worst stuff,
does that mean
like
our game against Houston gets canceled?
Probably. The craziest part is the ice, which the past few days it's just been snow and just cold. But now when the freezing rain comes, that's when the power outage is going to ramp up even more because we're not prepared for it. They don't try to prepare themselves for it. And, you know, down here, I've been able to keep a couple sinks and operating, you know, running water. But my kitchen sink doesn't work. Only one of the showers. Because all the piping is on the exterior walls, a lot of it. And so, you know, up north, they build their stuff through the interior. So to prevent freeze, but we don't really have that problem down here, except once every 5-10 years, and people aren't, that's how you get busted pipes. These copper pipes just expand and bust, and it's good for some businesses, I guess.
Yeah.
The restoration area.
It sounds like a hurricane. Like that's what people do down here when there's a hurricane,
the
and there's no
time?
Power and you got to figure your shit out, get a generator, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Except
when's the last time y'all have had a freeze like this in Dallas? I was talking to Caitlin about it earlier.
The last I can remember is when we hosted the Super Bowl, and because I remember it was like, oh, come down to warm weather, and then all the people from the north come down here like, wait, it's freezing and the roads are iced up and y'all don't know how to do anything down here. So I remember that because I
was, when was that, 2014, 15,
2010, I think, was the Super Bowl here, right? 20 something, like it was Packers Steelers, whatever that one was.
Shoot.
Okay.
That might have been the first year that they opened that stadium, or like one of the first few years.
Yeah, because I think to get a Super Bowl with a new stadium, you have to have played in it at least a full season so they can see that you can, you know, the operations of it all are kind of in line. But yeah, it must have been the second year after it opened.
Yeah. What a time. What a fucking time.
Yeah. How's how's things in Florida, y'all?
Just nice fine. And warm.
Nice as fuck out, honestly. I kind of want to be outside right now.
Yeah, it's we're getting a little cool, as in like below 75. So might break out a light jacket here soon. Who knows?
To put over that tank top?
Get crazy. Exactly. Welcome to the show, Craig. Thanks for coming on,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Yeah, so Johnny K, what's the what's on the agenda? Am I losing John? Or is that just me?
Yeah, he's frozen. The
shit on some Dallas Cowboys.
John, we're losing you.
Can y'all hear me?
Not yeah.
Again.
It's kind of glitchy.
Hang on. Yeah, hang on.
I think I heard her say we lost Wi-Fi.
Hold up. Yeah, we did. I'm going off Wi-Fi.
It's going off the grid.
Do y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can't see you, but we can hear you.
Now I can't see y'all. What the hell?
Well, your box says Johnny K, so at least we know who you are.
There you are.
All right. All right. Better?
Yeah.
All right, sweet. So since we have the official home of the Dallas Cowboys on the show with us, I figured we could talk a little bit of the Cowboys, talk about the recent success of the Mavericks. Maybe this might be a little bit of a biased show a little bit here with all the Dallas talk, but also some of the issues going on in the NBA of the, like, the double standard in sports with requesting trades and being put on the trade block, and how those a perceived double standard with some of the players going on. Like the, I don't know if y'all saw the Draymond Green interview, how he kind of just didn't talk about the win against Cleveland, just kind of used that soapbox to talk about the double standard that's going on in sports. I thought there was some good material there. We got baseball season on the corner. A lot of stuff we can talk about. I mean, I really want to focus on the Mavericks, though, to be honest. Craig, I know you're big on the Dallas Mavericks as well. Reggie, I know you follow anything NBA. What is your take on the Mavericks, where we're at now, where we started the season? And, I mean, postseason's right around the corner. I think we're 13 and 15, 10th in the West.
Here's what I don't get. How is Luka supposed to be like the next LeBron, the next Magic Johnson, like that next dude? His team's decent, but like right now, if the playoffs started, you wouldn't even make it. How is that?
Right.
How's that possible?
Yeah, I mean, 10th in the West, but they're separated by, you know, 4 games from being in the 5th seed, you know, so that's the West, yeah, like usual. I think as far as the Mavs go this year, you know, I think the past week and a half, you're seeing more of what the team is than that the start. You know, the Spurs just announced that they're canceling all these games because they got a COVID outbreak, but yet the Mavericks are forced to play supremely shorthanded without, you know, 3 or 4 of their starting roster. And, you know, I think when you come back, it takes each guy a little bit different time to get their legs or wind, all this. And at the time, you're also trying to shuffle in, you know, Josh Richardson and, you know, different starting lineups. And I think now is a better indication of what they are. And I see if they get up to the 6th seed, I think it'll be a successful year. And of course, a first round deep 7-game series, if not a win. Like I was telling John the other day, it's the NBA is a, each year take a step up the staircase to get to that mountain. And, you know, after Luka had a great series last year, people wanted to, all right, we're going to go to the Western Conference Finals this year. No, we're not. We got to grow. And I think their biggest thing is coming in hot and then trying to evolve for next year.
Okay. So I know Craig and I have different opinions on the most recent addition of Josh Richardson. I've spoken publicly on this podcast about him. Is he a good NBA player? Yes, but personally, I wanna hear your take on where does defense in the NBA, what level of, how do you prioritize defensive play in the NBA versus being able to put points on the board? Because in the beginning of the season, when we were without one of our pillars, KP, you know, that's another point. I'd like to see what we can do with a full season of KP and Luka. We haven't seen that yet. But where do you prioritize defense when teams are averaging, I don't know what the league average is, but I would easily say they're putting up 110 a game, every game, you know, like we're not even one of the better offensive teams coming off of the 2020 season. We were like one of the highest offensively rated teams in the league. Not so much this year because of, like you said, going without some of our biggest rotation pieces, but we bring in Richardson to up the ante on defense. But I personally feel as though we're lacking offensively on mainly 3-point shooting because of that loss of Curry. We've always been a team that lives and dies by the three. We've always been a good 3-point shooting team when we're doing well, for as long as I've been following them. Is Richardson a boom or a bust? And how do you prioritize defense in the NBA this year?
Well, I think it's too early to say boom or bust on him. I'm high on him just because he is a more of a 3-and-D guy. You know, there was many times last year I felt, you know, as great as Seth Curry was on the offensive end, he was negative on the defensive end, and he's just he couldn't guard some of the taller guards out there. And as far as defense overall, you know, yeah, all these teams are scoring, you know, triple digits averaging and 3-point shots off the chart. We do need improved 3-point shooting, and that needs to come from Luka. And I think you see him shooting the ball better when there's people in the stands. I think he's a showman, and he feels it, the rhythm. And when he's knocking that down, of course, you know, sky's the limit for the team. But more importantly, I think we need rebounds. You know, our rebounding numbers are terrible. Mm-hmm. Defense these days isn't just about, you know, locking a team down to 85 points. That, those days are long gone. It's about, can you make stops in money time? And, you know, that Portland game was a great example. You know, they have Lillard, who is that guy. You know, he's going to hit, you know, 50% of those game-winning shots. And nothing you can do about that. But there were several times they got three possessions out of the ball. You know, we just couldn't defensive rebounds. And that's the main issue with the Mavericks right now, is rebounding and crunch time defense.
I think I saw somewhere where last year the Mavs had the best offense of all time in the history of the NBA. Last year, the
highest offensive defense rating, ever.
It was the most efficient too.
Yeah.
So I think they figured they could just get rid of Curry and still be decent enough offensively and get like a defensive stopper guy, and then still be okay. But I think everyone kind of tailed off too. Like Porzingis probably isn't shooting as well. Luka's not shooting as well. And then that's made a big impact. And then I think for Richardson, I think they want his defense probably more for the playoffs. Cause like offense or defense doesn't really matter in the regular season, but in the playoffs, when you get to like the conference finals or the conference semifinals, that's when like the defense shows up and the game slows down. And I'm assuming they're hoping in the playoffs, he really gets his money's worth, I guess, and shows up and stops like a LeBron type or a Harden type or whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, our overall defense, you know, KP, you know, I think we're always going to be dealing with questionable status with him, you know, with his knees. And I think he's, the past few games have showed he's finally kind of comfortable. Like, I feel like he's finally starting to like roll more to the hole and post up and demand the ball on some, when he's got a smaller person on him. But early on, he was shooting way too many threes and jumpers. 7-3, you got to mix it up down in the paint. And yeah, I think that's due to him not being fully comfortable on that knee.
I don't think he's a true center in the NBA. I think that once you have your knees operated on in the NBA, when you're 7 foot or above, you know, you kind of take the wind out of their sails a little bit. And you can see that. I agree with you. He has looked a whole lot more comfortable as of late. He's been demanding some presence down low while still mixing up that three ball, which me personally, I love that part of his game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And he's gonna definitely play, his stats are better whenever he starts at the five, but you're definitely the Shaq days of some 7 foot guy just living in the low post is gone. But he can't be one way all the time. He's got to mix it in. And most teams nowadays don't even have another big that can really go with them down there. So you get 10 easy buckets a game doing some pin downs and, you know, rolls.
Yeah. What do you think? Here we are, 13-15, 5-3 over the last 8 in February. Where do our playoff chances go from here? Because if you look at our schedule moving forward, we have some really tough games slated, and I'm really hoping that we actually do get to make this game up against Pistons and possibly even the Rockets on Friday, because Detroit, more so than Houston, should be a for sure win, but I think we could win both of those games fairly easily if we play like we've been playing through the month of February. But if you look outside of those games, we play the Grizzlies, who are a 500 team, but they're on the brink. The Celtics, the 76ers, Brooklyn Nets, you know, so we've got some really tough games ahead, and we've only got, it looks like, 8 more games left in this condensed season. So, I mean, it's a lot of work to do. You say a successful season is 6th seed and in the West, it's going to be tough to do with the remaining schedule. I feel like I really don't know if we'll even make the playoffs at this point in time. Like, I really don't. I mean, do you think, what do you think is our postseason picture? Do you think
how many it's realistic? Overall do we have left?
8.
Really? I thought there was more than that.
8 games left? No, the season's like a 70-game season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a full 82, but it's like 70.
Yeah, because the All-Star game is supposed to be in March.
Yeah, you might think.
Is that the All-Star break?
Probably, yeah. That's what you're probably seeing. That's like next month.
Yeah. Yeah, you're trying to line it back up to where we get back. They get back onto the regular start time and finish up the final in June.
I'm looking at the schedule.
I think you're looking at the All-Star break because there hasn't even been an All-Star break yet, because I know Anthony Davis, he hurt his Achilles and he's out until the All-Star break in March or something like that.
Yeah, and they still got the trade deadline coming up.
There are no games listed in April, May, June. Nowhere on their schedule are their games listed.
Well, that's because the Mavs suck and they figured they'll be out of it by then anyway, so they didn't schedule any more games.
Hey, shut your mouth. For real, though.
I don't know.
I've been hearing that this is a condensed NBA season, but I'm not seeing. Hang on.
Yeah, that's weird.
I hope there's more than 8 games left.
You guys definitely need it. I mean, you're 2 games out of the
playoffs.
Yeah,
there's definitely more than 8 games.
Like, I want to know how are the Mavs going to get better? Are they just going to play better? Are there any looking at getting better players, any trades? Like, if it's the team constructed as it is now, how much better can they actually be?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the Mavs historically don't do a lot of damage in free agency getting some guys in here. And so it's typically with trades or, roster dumps and stuff. I think Andre Drummond would be a good addition, just a roll and rebound and kind of guy. I'm not really high on Blake Griffin at this point. I don't think he's dunked in 2 years.
Really? Is that real?
No, I'm just joking about that. But he's a shell of himself, and he's owed a lot of money. But some of those pieces might be get you an extra bump throughout the couple wins extra this year. But I think getting into the playoffs, well, even if it's the 8th seed and you get drowned by Utah or the Lakers, in this NBA, your main goal is to keep your stars happy. Otherwise, they start getting eye in other situations. And if you can show Luka and KP that, hey, we're going to do whatever necessary to put these pieces here, because before you know it, Luka will be a free agent. And and if he's not convinced that you've tried to do enough to put pieces around him, he might eye somewhere else. Now, I don't personally think he's that type of guy, but you never know. And so I don't know if this year there's anything they can really do that'd be a huge significant change. It all depends on what you're willing to give up, of course. You know, Brunson would be a piece that a lot of teams would be looking at. I would hate to give him up. But to get something, you have to give something. And it all depends on what you're willing to give up.
Is there any scenario where the Mavs, like in the next couple of years, trade KP? I mean, he's injury prone.
I can see that. I can see them upgrading the Robin position to Batman here. And, they now with this new knee injury, does that lessen what you could get for him? Probably. But I still think, there's teams out there that have got a disgruntled star that wants out and they could sell themselves on KP being their new block for moving forward.
Yeah, because like the Mavs don't have many trade pieces, and I always compare like Luka to LeBron. They play very similar style, and you see LeBron is like all he needed was AD, and then you just fill the team around him, and you're a championship contender. And I feel like Luka's the same way. You get Luka like a solid second dude, and you're a championship contender. But KP's not that guy. Like, he's not there to make them like a top three seed automatically with just everyone else, like just scrubs, I guess, even around them. So maybe you could trade KP and a couple first round picks and get someone at that level. Is that even, that's probably your best bet to get any type of value and any type of trade, because I don't know who else you would trade to get better.
Yeah. And I don't know who that guy would be, you know, just thinking of the landscape out there, the guys that are, you know, one or two on their team, don't really excite me, you know, whether it's LaVine or these guys on these second tier markets that they're the stud there. It's, well, I don't like that mix, or I wouldn't pay what he's been on this team and hasn't done anything. What makes him valuable to us? That's the toughest thing about the NBA is, you know, you could take the top five scorers in the league and put them on the team. Well, they're not going to average that same point of value. It's only one ball. So it's trying to use that equation. What this player on our team, how does that plus minus us for in a game? And that's what the analytics guys are evolving into, you know.
Yeah.
I listen to the radio about the analytics and I get some of it, but it's like some of it's over my head for sure.
Yeah, I think what you'd want to do is find a player who you're like, okay, he's a stud here, but what would he be with Luka giving him the ball, like running the offense and letting him do his thing? Like, that's what LeBron can do for AD. Like, AD was like that star in New Orleans who never won anything, but he put up numbers, and then you put him with LeBron and then he fucking balls out.
Yeah, and I think that is exactly right. You know, Luka's that type of player that, you know, Tim Hardaway, you know, is having a great year relative to any time he's been with the Knicks or the Hawks. There's different – LeBron and Luka are different in the sense that when they pass you the ball, it's right in the right spot, right in your rhythm. And I think guys who – your average NBA players are going to have a better year with LeBron or Luka just because the nature of their game and the uniqueness of their abilities.
John, what are you laughing about?
All right. So
find the schedule.
I got conned, fellas. Listen, according to some, this just in, breaking news, this just in on the Into Reserve podcast, NBA's 2020-2021 second half schedule was expected to be released in 2 to 3 weeks as of February 4th. So be on the lookout for the NBA to release the second half of the schedule. We have a lot more than 8 games left, and my blood pressure just went way down because
I didn't either.
Like, dude, it's nowhere to be found. And, okay, so that makes me feel a whole lot better. So, I mean, in that case, I don't see a scenario where we do not make the playoffs. Personally, I don't. With how we're playing, I was kind of sounding the alarm a little bit. Craig was my inhaler, kind of calmed me down, told me to breathe a little bit. And he's like, let's see how these 8 guys kind of mix in together after being down so many players due to COVID restrictions and all that. Because I know Craig and I essentially watch every single Mavericks game that comes on, and cause we're chatting throughout each game, but, we have looked a lot different. And me personally, I Richardson, yeah, he's averaging 12 points a game, and he is scrappy on the defense. He's lengthy. He's got long arms. He plays good defense. He can lock down a bigger guard. But for me, the biggest difference has been Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleber. Kleber being from the same hometown as the Germanator, and Dorian Finney-Smith, we drafted him, right, Craig?
Yeah, he's one of the guys that Carlisle loves. He's improved every year he's been here, and good room guy, and Luka likes him too.
I heard you call Richardson a 3-and-D guy. he's more of a D guy, in my opinion. His 3-point percentage is like 30, like he shoots like 30% from beyond the arc. But if you look at the last,
did he shoot last year? That's another thing. What I was saying is his 3-point percentage, I would imagine, has gone up because of playing with Luka. Just like Reggie was saying, these guys who are known for one thing, they have better than career years playing with supreme players like LeBron or Luka. It's just different. In Philly, I'm not sure what his percentage was there, but
yeah, his 3-point overall, he's 36% from beyond the arc. This year is is his low. He's 29.6, 34.1, 35.7, 37.8, 33, and his rookie year with Miami was he shot 46.1 from beyond the arc. But that was a small sample size. But I really like, if you look at Dorian Finney-Smith, he's shooting like something like 48% from beyond the arc the last six games. And then you've got Maxi Kleber, who's 10th in the league overall at the 3-point shooting. I think that's been the biggest change in the overall production of the and our points off of assists. We're really moving the ball a whole lot better lately, and you can definitely see the chemistry on the rise for the Mavericks. And in that case, since there's an entire second half of the season that I was unaware of, I think that being six is a realistic seed for the Mavericks, I think that would be a good next step, because if we come in, personally, I think it's talking to Reggie about this on a previous show. If we don't get the fifth or fourth seed, I think it's a first round loss. I don't think we have the team to beat the Clippers, the Lakers, or Utah in a 7-game series. Utah is playing out of their damn minds. They shoot the three. They defend really well. They're bigger than us. The Lakers are the Lakers, and the Clippers, while I think we could take it to 7 games with them, I don't think that ultimately we would get a first round win against the Clippers either. But I think that if we could get to that fifth seed and play a team, I don't know what the standings are, but like, play a team like
the Suns are the 4 seed right now, which
that would be a great 7-game series.
It would, but I'd be nervous as hell with Booker. That guy lights out against us.
He's wet, and they have Chris Paul too. He's still playing pretty well. Ayton's nasty. Like, they got a good team.
Yeah, like, it seems like Chris Paul, as many teams as he's played on, it's like it's always like last year, Oklahoma City got him. Like, they had a young squad, and here comes this wily veteran. And didn't they make the playoffs last year or came close?
They first round loss. I'm pretty sure.
But he joins these young teams and kind of helps them grow quicker. And that's what you see with the Suns. They were lighting it up last year offensively and one of the funner teams to watch, but they were like the Mavs a few years ago, just couldn't close out crunch time. And Chris Paul's really kind of guided the ship there. And it's kind of scary with Booker, the way he is a Maverick killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a quick question for you guys. If for some reason Philly offered up to reverse the trade right now, Seth Curry for Richardson, would you guys do it right now?
I would. Because Dorian Finney-Smith is a true 3-and-D guy. Kleba is a great defensive piece for us. Luka plays defense. KP can play defense. I don't think Richardson.
Yeah, that's only one wing player, though, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the contract situation, I don't know what the difference is or pay, but I know Seth just got paid. So if your idea is to add free agency and have as many useful pieces, trade chips, you know, Seth Curry is one. You're not going to win every trade. You're not going to lose every trade. But I think the long run, that's going to be a better move for the Mavs than Seth Curry. As much as I liked him, you know, coming off the bench, but there was plenty of games where it wasn't there, you know.
Yeah.
With every team shooting threes, you know, you can get the habit of watching SportsCenter highlights. Oh my God, they're making everyone. But you watch the games, when you're cold, you're cold. And you're going to have to grind out some games. And we were not able to do that with him.
Yeah, that's true. And if he's cold, he doesn't give anything else to you guys. Like, he's not playing defense or doing anything else. So it's like, at least with Richardson, if he's not hitting shots, he can play defense.
Yeah.
I feel that. Yo, for some reason, Zoom, like, is telling me there's only 7 minutes left or else I got to upgrade and pay some kind of – pay more for this meeting. I don't know why. So – I guess we got 7 minutes, and I can set up another meeting, and then I'll call you guys back.
Okay. I don't
know why it's making me pay for shit.
You need to upgrade, bro. You need to upgrade, bro.
It's like $14 a month or some crazy shit.
I mean, we're making millions off this podcast. You can't pay $14 a month?
Yeah, that's true. That's wild. But yeah, I'll set up another meeting in like 7 minutes.
So that's odd, dude, that the second half schedule still is not released. I don't understand that.
Do they at least know the teams are playing, or is that, because you would think?
I can't find shit. I cannot find a thing about it other than, Tyler Conway reporting that the NBA's 2021 second half schedule to be released in 2 to 3 weeks. So the All-Star game is going to be on March 7th. And then the games will start, I'm assuming, probably the following like Thursday or Friday. But yeah, that's crazy.
Maybe Draymond will go off on this.
Draymond, I need to have a schedule. I need to know what I'm doing 2 months in advance. Fuck.
So, do you want to just go ahead and do that now then?
Do what?
Set up the other call?
No, because I don't know how long they do, like another 15, so I want to use all the time we got on this one.
Okay, cool.
Call back.
All right, so what's your take on the national anthem deal with them, Craig?
Well, I mean, it took how many games before someone even noticed? I mean,
yeah,
it, you know, my, you know, I, when it comes to these sorts of things, I try to see both sides of it. And, you know, I know whenever I'm in the games or at a game, whatever 2019 was back when we could go to games, there's a lot of people that are pounding beers and on their phone during the national anthem. So the people that say you got to show respect and do all this, I get that, but I see a lot of people not doing that. And even the whole, you know, it's all springs from the Kaepernick stuff, you know, that the games, they wouldn't even show that on TV. But once you started doing it, it was like, now we got to show the national anthem to count out who's all kneeling. And I'm fine with it not being played, but I also don't mind if it is played, but it's low hanging fruit for it to be politicized. And, and that's just where we are right now. Everything is either I'm right, you're wrong. No, you're right. And it's a can't win issue.
Yeah, that's true. It seems like no one really cared until the media made it a big deal. Like, no one gave a fuck until the media is like, hey, look what's happening over here. Let's get you mad about it.
It's so well, and they want to pick and choose what is disrespectful. You know, you go to a Stars game around here and when they say Stars, everyone in the building says Stars. Some people consider that disrespectful, but you know, it's everyone sets the line of outrage where they want it to. It can justify anything just because they believe a certain way. And, you know, I used to have an argument with, you know, people like, I'm a big proponent of taking the Pledge of Allegiance out of the schools, you know, people, it's what they're accustomed to is, like, oh, it's just how we've always done it. Well, no, the under God part of the Pledge of Allegiance wasn't added till like 1950 something.
Yeah. It's
because of the fear of communism. So these things have evolved over time, but people have this image in their head. This is how it's always been since the start of time. And they're wrong. It's things happen due to the times and they evolve.
I agree. it's like, how many people are working a 9-to-5 job right now that wish that they felt heard by their CEO, and they could have a sit down, a one-on-one with their CEO and talk about what's important to them. You know, Cuban's getting ostracized for this shit, you know, but really his motivation was because he's listening to his players. He's hearing what his players are saying and saying that they don't feel that the national anthem represents them. You know, it's not their national anthem kind of thing. Not to mention you've got two or three players on the roster that aren't even American citizens, really. They don't have, like, American citizenship. But, like, how is that an issue of debate when really I feel like it should be celebrated, you know? But it's people that come out and say you need to respect the flag and anything that kind of fit their narrative. But those are generally the ones that sitting there with their hat on tight, sitting on their phone and chugging a beer during the national anthem, you know. I've always been one to respect the national anthem. So me personally, like, to have this viewpoint on it, it's completely separate. Respecting the national anthem and also noticing what's going on around us and having a sense of empathy for those who do feel as though they're not being heard, or they feel persecuted as a population, as a race, whatever the topic is. But growing up, I used to yell at people to take their hats off when the national anthem was being played. So don't get me wrong, I've always respected the national anthem, but times are changing.
Yeah, you know, your boy Jerry Jones was caught wearing a hat during the national anthem. It didn't take his hat off. Someone was like, hey, take your hat off. He's like, no, because I think he wasn't wearing his toupee or something like that. So he didn't take his hat off. And then he's complaining about other people kneeling during the flag. It's a solid joke.
It's a double standard. It's whatever it is to fit the narrative.
Yeah, and follow the money, you know. Cuban backtracked pretty quickly when the NBA said, no, you're going to play it. And yeah, here's a line bullshit of sponsors ready to say something about it, you know. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, all the leagues do it, you know. The whole breast cancer awareness thing that the NFL did, and come to find out only like 2% of the merch sold was going to the charities.
What?
If people thought, oh, we're doing this great thing. No, you're making money. It's making money. Follow the money, all of it. You know, military paid for the national anthem to even be played in NFL games. It's all about the hidden money you don't see, but people want to politicize it to hide the fact that cash is being exchanged.
Oh yeah, it's wild. Yeah, I'm gonna send you guys emails in like 2 seconds and call you.
Okay, cool.
All right, cool.
Since we're like tech stuff, is you see the demand where everyone's working from home and hey, this software, boom.
Yeah, like the stock went crazy.
Yeah. Not like GameStop crazy, but
hey, GameStop, that's just wild.
I'm sitting here trying to wrap my head around that. I was like, I think I understand it, but then I don't. And stock,
yeah, it's a lot of shit you gotta like look up and figure out and research, but
that's just wild. All
right, are we back? Hey.
Yeah, so I found out that if it's 3 or more people, then you get a 40-minute time limit on Zoom.
That's crap. Me, you, and Lynch went for way longer than that.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Maybe get like a few trial periods, and then they say, hey, you keep doing these 3 people things,
you gotta pay the piper. Yeah, that's fucked up.
Reggie, aren't you a doctor, bro? You can't afford $14 a month, bro.
I'm not paying $14 a month for something I use like once a week. You know what I mean? It's fucking the scam. Yo, I did not know the breast cancer NFL thing. They only give 2%.
It was something like that. They, you know, in their ads and stuff, they would remember, because they don't do that as much anymore. They used to be crazy pink everywhere. Yeah. And I think they still do it to an extent, but they get called on it, like, you know, saying proceeds go to charity, but how much of the proceeds? And it turned out to be a super small percentage of the pie, and they're selling pink jerseys, pink merch like crazy. And the same thing with the military month with all the camo stuff. Now I think they probably give a little bit more of that, but
That's dirty.
They definitely stepped in. That's why, yeah, like they want to be high, get on their soapbox about all these issues. You know, it's the money thing. Like that's where it all is. If it was financially beneficial to them, they wouldn't give two shits about anyone kneeling.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that there's companies out there that are headed with the MyPillow guy and and they're like, okay, well, he's paying a lot of money for X, Y, and Z, so step in line.
Yeah. Mm. Fucked up. But I guess I'm not that surprised, but that's just the way shit goes nowadays. Well, I guess since forever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So John, you want to talk about the Draymond Green situation where he was calling out the media and shit? Give us like a little background on that.
All right. So basically Draymond Green said that there is a double standard going on in the league regarding player trades, right? So you've got and also amongst other issues. You've got the one end of the spectrum where James Harden kind of says, yo, you know, I'm requesting a trade, or the Anthony Davis or anything like that coming out publicly and requesting a trade. And these players get just accosted for it. You know, they just get like by the media and by the fans, you know, it kind of creates this tug of war in a sense, because on the other end of the spectrum, you've got players like Drummond in Cleveland, who is pregame going back into the locker room and coming out in street clothes because he's getting told that he's not going to be playing, you know, because it's good for the organization. So, they're looking for a trade because it's the right organizational move, right? So,
mm-hmm.
He's basically saying that the players at some point are going to need to be respected or given the same amount of respect as the organization in that regard, because when a player wants to do something to better their situation, you know, James Harden wanting out of Houston, AD wanting out of, what was it, New Orleans, players doing what's right for them, but the media never rips that apart. But when it's just a double standard, essentially, basically saying that the players feel disrespected when they're coming out and doing what's right for them. And he also highlighted the Kyrie Irving saying he's sitting out because of mental health reasons and things like that. I listened to the 2.5 to 3 minute clip by Draymond, and honestly, like I'm normally not a huge Draymond Green fan, but I really actually kind of related to it, not related, but I felt what he was saying, you know, a clip of it to watch Andre Drummond before the game, sit on the sidelines and go to the back and then come out in street clothes because the team is going to trade him. It's bullshit, said Green, who was speaking with Drummond for a few minutes before tip off, because when James Harden asked for a trade and essentially dogged it, no one was going to fight back that James was dogging it his last few days in Houston, but he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team, and everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come and say, oh, we want to trade a guy. And then when the guys go sit, if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer and he's not good in somebody's locker room and he's the issue. So they're expecting these players to stay professional, stay in shape physically and play the part. But then but on the other end of the spectrum, when they come out and say, I want to be traded, I want to do what's right for me, they get kind of castrated for it. So is there a double standard in sports specifically regarding this trade issue, and how does it get addressed moving forward?
Yeah, I think there is. I'm thinking like why is it that way? I think it's the fans and the media. Like whenever an organization does something, they don't say anything. But if a player wants to do it for himself, then they get pissed off. Like if a player sucks and the team wants to trade him or cut him, it's like, okay, great. But if a player does great, or if the organization sucks, it's like, hey, I want to get the fuck out of here, then the player's not loyal. It's like, how does that make sense? It has to go both ways. Like, and I don't know where that came from.
Well, I think it stems from, you know, we are all fans of particular teams, team first. And so you're going to love guys that are not on your team. And when they're not on your team, you're going to love the new guys that are on your team. I think that's changing. I think you see a lot more younger kids nowadays, fans of particular, especially the NBA, fans of particular players. They'll follow LeBron, whichever team he goes to. And I think that'll change on that end. The days of, you know, the Dirks or Duncan staying with teams for their entire career, that's going to be an anomaly. And every 4 years, you're going to see probably a new crop of people on your team. And team loyalty isn't going to be what it was compared to it is what it has been.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys be mad if Luka did this? Well, like, let's say the Mavs like suck, like they were asked worst team in the league. Would you guys be mad if Luka was like, "Hey, I want to get traded"?
Yes and no. I'd be upset just because I'm a Mavs fan, but I wouldn't hold anything personal against him. If I knew our prospects weren't looking good for the next 4 years, and we had a shit owner who wasn't aggressive, yeah. Go to a better situation for you. I totally understand. Even before the Mavs won the title, you know, there was tons of talk around here of, do you let Dirk go chase that dream elsewhere? And as tough of a band-aid that would have been to pull off, but I would have been totally happy and supportive of that, even if it meant him going to join Kobe and the Lakers or whatever, because I was a fan of him way more than the team, probably. I wanted it for him if it wasn't going to be with us.
I think any sort of emotion regarding a player departing your team or your city, like for example, Luka, Luka owes us nothing. Luka, yeah. Really, I mean, you know, so selfishly, hell yeah, I'd be upset. You know, but the biggest key word there is selfishly, you know, because I love seeing 77 do it, man. Like he could easily, Caitlin threatens to tell on me to Dirk all the time, but I tell her every time I see him play, I'm like, this guy could be my favorite, Dallas athlete of all time. You know, like he's great. He's incredible to watch on the floor. Yeah, of course, I'd be butthurt about it, but would I disrespect the move for him professionally? No, I wouldn't. Especially like if Craig said, if we're not putting the pieces around him, if we don't have an owner of the team who's willing to do what it takes to show our superstar that we're gonna do whatever it takes to win, then no. I mean, do you, man? You gotta take your own path to the ring, you know. Yeah, and
I think that viewpoint is a lot different than, like, people even like 10 years ago, like when LeBron left the Cavs the first time to go to Cleveland, people were like saying he's the biggest traitor, he's unloyal, they were burning his jersey in the streets and saying this and that. But he played his like first Cavs career like with nobody on his team. He carried a bunch of scrubs and like Delonte West and a bunch of losers to the finals, and his owner never got him any all-star to go with him. And then he leaves and people get mad at him that he wanted to go to a good organization, but I think LeBron started to change like that narrative of you can go somewhere else and better for your short career that you have. You need to do what's best for you and not be loyal to the Cavs when they fucking stink and have not shown anything like to help you.
Yeah, I think he was the first to cross that line doing it that way, and he took the brunt of the criticism. You know, I think KD, whenever he went to Golden State, he got criticized, but I don't think it was to the extent like LeBron. Each big profile player that does something like this, I think it's less and less criticism. But the NBA is such a, like the other sports, you know, players demanding trades, like whether it's Deshaun Watson in Houston, or I think the NFL is shifting into the NBA model where players are realizing their voice. And hey, this career is only X amount of long. I'm going to win or do what I can to win instead of just towing the company line. And the NBA has been a leader in that for a while. And the media and the teams still are trying to hold on to it as if it were the 90s where they had a little more control.
Yeah, which I don't get. Like why do they care so much about, like, if Deshaun Watson wants to leave a shitty organization ran by a bunch of fucking idiots, why can't he do that? You know what I mean? I don't get that. And he wants to, like, get traded. You can trade him for fair value. Or if you want to fucking keep him and see if he holds out or not. You know what I mean? Like, to see, like, because he already signed the contract, so he's going to get paid or whatever either way. Like, I don't understand why people get so riled up about fucking Deshaun Watson. Like, the whole Brett Favre thing when he was like, oh, he needs to, like, shut up and not say anything.
Yeah,
not.
He signed the contract.
He gets paid too much to have an opinion when Brett Favre was out there fucking pretending to retire, like, every fucking couple years.
Yeah, I think there's some racial code in there with some of these moves, especially in the NFL. You know, I think black athletes should play the game a certain way, and or the business game or the behind the scenes game a lot differently than the Brett Favre or the primo white quarterbacks. You know, and there's a change coming when it comes to that, because there's going to be more and more black quarterbacks in this league, and they're going to have some say. And, you know, is Tom Brady, Tom Brady is, you know, a different example just because he's Tom Brady, but are there other white quarterbacks that get to have more of a say in, hey, coaches or roster moves, or just things are bounced off them a lot more than a Deshaun Watson, who's a top quarterback, probably doesn't get any say, or, and he's probably real pissed about the Hopkins getting dealt.
And I mean, you can see it just too. Yeah, just like the Matt Stafford trade. Like, hey, he goes to the Lions, like, hey, I'll get traded. A week later, he's traded, and no one says anything. And Deshaun Watson asked for the same thing, and then it's this big fucking ordeal.
Yeah,
I hate to say it, but it's almost like a know your place mentality from the stereotypical white owner to the prototypical black athlete. Like, but then when Matthew Stafford comes out and requests that's a great example. Matthew Stafford comes out and requests a trade, and they're like, oh yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
Goff, I mean, that's a little bit different. That's a little bit different just because, you know, how long has he been in Detroit? 10 years. And so that they're looking to strip everything down. But Deshaun, prime of his career still, and he's treated like it's just old white billionaires that are stuck in their ways.
And they're trying to control these players. But it's like, so, like, do you want Deshaun to stay in the Texans and become Stafford, where you're in the league for 10 years and you suck for 10 years and you never win anything, and then you have rights to leave? Like, the fucking Texans suck. Like, people don't want to play for you. So fucking trade your players or get better, you know? And just, they just want to control people just for the sake of controlling them.
There's a part of me that feels like the contractual obligation to fulfill your contract kind of thing. I get it a little bit. But when that's not the dynamic of what's going on currently, you can't expect people to just all have that mentality of, oh, I have to fulfill my contract, when people are the entire dynamic of the leagues, NBA, NFL, it's all changing, you know? So you kind of got to roll with the punches. And
well, the NFL is different not as different as the other, but Deshaun Watson breaks his leg, they could cut him today and probably be out very little money. You know, I'm sure they'll eat some of it, but it's the other double standard. You know, a player wanting his control of or say of how this team is, the direction this team is going, but at the same instance, they can cut you and move on from you and can blackball you. So it's players are, there's only X amount of players that have the voice to do what Deshaun's trying to do. And there's the next level who are happy to get this contract and they're going to ride it out and hopefully get their next one. But he wants to play 15 years, not, you know, 8 years with a shitty team and get killed all the time because he has no offensive line. This is a show me league, and they haven't shown him that they're trying to put anything around him. They're actually taking things away from them.
Yeah, they trade fucking DeAndre Hopkins for peanuts. It's like,
why the fuck would I play after they told them that they were not doing that? Like, and then that organization, like the fact that they didn't fire Bill O'Brien sooner,
is
they're garbage.
It's a joke. And then, like, I feel like Deshaun Watson and players of that caliber, like, when you have that leverage, you have to use it. When you're a superstar and they signed you already to a contract, you need to use all the power you can, because they would do the same thing against you if you suck. They'd cut you
off. Yeah, and as time goes on, your leverage lessens because of your age, and you got to use it while you got it.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Like, do you guys think he will get traded?
Who?
Deshaun Watson. Because the Texans are like trying to say like they're not going to trade him. They're just going to play it out, play hardball.
Promising, especially with what they want in return. I mean, even the Eagles trying to trade Carson Wentz, the teams are hanging up the phone on them when they say we want 2 first-round draft picks for Carson Wentz. If that's the price for Carson Wentz, you can only imagine what they're asking for a player like Deshaun. You know, it's probably there's. I mean, who's gonna risk their entire future on one player when I'm potentially throwing away years of draft picks where I could draft a Deshaun?
Yeah, especially
because
you don't really need a Deshaun to win the Super Bowl. You need a good quarterback, but you don't need a Deshaun and whatever that's going to cost you per se. You know,
well, it only takes one team. You know, there's teams out there that have been in quarterback purgatory hell for a long time, like the Bears. I could see the Bears saying, because they missed out on Watson and Mahomes, and they traded up to get Trubisky. And they've been eating that since they made that move. And, you know, before Harden got moved, I'm like, what team would take on that contract? And just the amount of money, things have to work to line up, but it happened. And all it takes is one team. And I think Deshaun will eventually hold out and get his wish. Now, will it be to a more desirable area? I don't know. But I think it'll be a fresh start that he's been craving here.
Yeah, I think he has a no-trade clause, too, so he kind of can go wherever he wants.
Okay, I don't know the details of his deal.
I thought the deal with Miami was probably the most likely to happen. You know, but I think that what prevented that from happening, and this may just be me, but I'm not hot on Tua. I don't think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. Maybe he, like, the first few games are like, oh, they're not opening up the playbook. They're not giving him full reign of everything he can do. But just seeing how he played out in NFL action, I think that he was the caveat in the trade. Like, did Houston want to roll out their future around Tua, who essentially got benched for Ryan
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would have been the most likely scenario, because they had a former first-round draft pick and some future draft picks to deal. But I don't think any team I don't see it happening personally. I mean, he could hold out. So, yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't seem feasible, but feasible doesn't always mean it's not going to happen. Like you said, it just takes one team, but I don't know. I have no idea. But
yeah,
so double standard or no? Yes, there is a double standard. Are we all in agreement that it's kind of a double standard in this league, in now, multiple leagues around sports?
And if I was Draymond, I wouldn't necessarily put Kyrie in that same boat. Kyrie kind of brings a lot of that stuff on himself, you know. I have a feeling the happiest person about James Harden joining the Nets was KD, because he's like, man, this Kyrie guy is a little out there. I need some a normalcy with my superstar.
Like a sane person.
And I don't want to, like, judge Kyrie and saying I don't claim to know about anyone's particular mental issues, but anyone who thinks the earth is flat and he's an artist, I mean, I don't know. He's
a different
little hot
for sure.
Sounds like he's high on his own supply sometimes, and that's just him. And
I'm not a big fan of him. I think he thinks he's better than Kevin Durant and James Harden. Like, I think he, in his own mind, he puts himself above those players. It's like, come on, dude, you're good, but use some kind of logic.
And LeBron. when he played.
Yeah, he thought he was better than LeBron. He's like, I want my own team. Yeah. It's like, play with LeBron. You're not gonna have any better situation ever than playing with LeBron, who's like, who's willing to give you the ball as much as you want too, and is willing like to let you shine.
He's always seeking for something, looking for something, the next best thing, because he gets in a situation and it's not what he thought. I need to be the alpha, or these people aren't on my level. You know, his time in Boston, you know, I thought that'd be a good match mix with him there in Boston. I like that coach, and they're always competitive, but he burns out his welcome pretty quickly in all his stops. And I could see him being shipped out of there by next year too, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure if this doesn't work, if they don't play well in the playoffs or something, I'm sure they trade Kyrie like next year just to keep KD and Harden, and then to build a better team, because the Nets aren't that good, that they're kind of top heavy, you know. So if it doesn't work, I'm sure they trade Kyrie for whatever they can get.
Crazy, a loss in the Eastern Conference Finals for the Nets would be a bust of a season. Probably to the predominant amount of media and fans. Like, if they don't go to the finals, it's a bust. Because you have three of the – I mean, Kyrie Irving, man, he just pisses me off because he could be great. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could be so freaking good. I don't know what's limiting him. As somebody who struggles with mental health myself, like, I can't completely just put him on the stake. But, like, I am just not a big fan of the guy. What did you call him? The Kanye West of the NBA, right, Rez?
Yeah, I think I did say something like that. That's what he reminds me of, yeah.
He thinks he's playing chess while everyone's playing checkers out there. And he's playing a different game that no one can comprehend. And it's like he thinks he's living in Inception or something, you know? And
he really does. He really does. It's like, come on, dude, come back to reality. Like, I get being like, yeah, look, get being like smart and, you know, self-aware and all that stuff, but he's like almost too into that word. Like, it doesn't make any sense anymore.
Like, I bet he's the type of person that speaks about himself in third person quite a bit.
Oof, yeah.
I see that. Yeah.
Oh, man. I could definitely see that.
But I definitely don't see them beating the Lakers or even getting to the finals. I don't see – they don't have any defense or anything. They can put up a lot of points, but I think when it comes down to it, they don't have enough depth and they don't have the defense in the playoffs where they're going to need it.
I don't even know who else is on that team.
Me either. I think DeAndre Jordan.
This guy Joe Harris shoots threes, I guess. I don't watch the games, but that's what I keep hearing.
They're third seed right now. 76ers, Bucks, Nets, Celtics. How are the Knicks in the sixth seed? Man, the East is – after five, it just drops in the East.
And like, this is an up year for the East, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like the Western Conference has always been – just so much more talented. Like, over the last 10 years, or I won't say always, but like of recent times, like the Western Conference has just been loaded with talent. And then you've got the East. There's like usually two or three really good teams. And then you've got the teams that are just coming up the rear, you know, like nobody expected Miami to be as good as they were, but they got it done and got to the finals, you know? So you've got, Bruce Brown, Chris Chioza. I don't even know who these people are, man. Like, who? Like, are you serious? They got Shumpert.
You should go try out for the Nets. See if you can make the team. Hit those threes.
Hey, man, you've seen me shoot, dog.
Hey, if you can hit them 4 threes, someone will find you.
Yeah, dude.
Exactly. Left. Don't count me out.
I would never.
Could be in my future. You never know. You think we get Dak signed, Craig?
I think if you put him under the franchise tag one more year, he's gone. So you have to. If the issue is over 4-year deal or 6-year deal, the Cowboys need to give up on that. Just give him the years he wants, just so you're losing every year you negotiate the amount of years, you're losing that much more year of control. And if he wants a 4-year deal just so he has more flexibility to re-up after 4, do it. That price tag is only going up. And Cowboys are another team that are stuck in doing business the way they did it in the 90s, or, you know, The fact that what pisses me off with the Cowboys, the fact that Zeke jumped in line to get his deal, and Cowboys were more than willing to sign it and not call his bluff, it's beyond me, because running backs game is as dynamic as he is, or was, because I don't think he really is dynamic anymore.
Agreed.
It's not worth the money. And Dak has been a third round, fourth round pick, and he's been everything. He's a leader. People respond to him. And is he a top five quarterback, 10 quarterback? I don't know. But he's better than the alternatives. And this is just the going rate.
What's the logic behind the Cowboys in this negotiation? Like, what are they trying to do? Piss off Dak? Because they don't have a plan B.
No, and it's beside me what their logic is. Yeah, you thought they were getting smart whenever they didn't pay DeMarco. They're like, all right, there's that certain formula when a guy has, 300 plus or X amount of carries, like their drop off hits pretty hard, and they were right with DeMarco Murray. And okay, we get Zeke first round. Okay, I'm not really happy about it, but all right, 4 years of a dynamic running back, and then on draft the next guy up. That's what you should be doing with a running back. And you find a quarterback that rallies the team, and numbers are what his are, lock him up. And you got to get over that yellow sticker tag on it. That's $40 million a year. That's just what it is. And you keep waiting, it'll be $50 million
a year. Yeah. You've got
like the Cowboys are hurting.
Right. If you look at the contracts for Dallas, there's seven players on our roster that are making $10 million or more. And I can really only agree with probably one of the contracts. DeMarcus Lawrence, highly overpaid, making $21 million a year on average.
Overpaid.
Amari Cooper making $20 million a year on average. Tyron Smith making 12.2, Ezekiel making 15. The only one I agree with is Zach Martin making $14 million a year. You got Jalen Smith that's making 11.4, and Lyle Collins rounding out that bunch at $10 million a year. You can't have 40% of your fucking cap with a projected cap of roughly $175 million in 2021. That's still to be determined. You can't have 40% of it going to seven goddamn players. And then that's without Dak. That's without Dak.
None of those people
put on last year, except for Murray.
Six of those people are on the offensive end, which shows that they've completely neglected the other side of the ball. And, I don't have a problem with paying offensive linemen, especially that Tyron deal. That was a long-term, very team-friendly deal. And, Zach Martin's solid still. But the running back – and, the Cooper thing, I don't know. You go draft a guy. You can get out of that pretty easy, I think, via trade or what, if CD hits that next level like we all think he can. But it's the Zeke deal that really kind of – you cut him, you got to eat probably, 25 mil of that. And and he is not producing. Tony Pollard – routinely had more of a spark to him when he was out there, and Zeke just ain't got it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do. I feel like with Dak's injury, like, you almost have to franchise tag him just to see how he plays next year, because you don't want to sign a dude who can't play to a long-term deal. Like, we don't know how good he's going to be coming off the injury. But then if we franchise tag him, like, is he going to sign with us the following year? You know what I mean?
I think if you franchise him, tag again, he's gone. Like, there's definitely a team out there that would give Dak what he wanted. Like, just like the gamble, I know the Kirk Cousins thing wasn't, it's not apples to apples because Kirk Cousins isn't Dak, but, he was franchise tag. He's betting on himself. And, Minnesota gave him that fully guaranteed deal, which had never been done before. And someone will do that for him if the Cowboys don't get their shit together and pay the man. I think it's kind of funny now that Bud Light, he signed a deal with Bud Light, and the Cowboys are sponsored by Miller Light. It's like he's trying to
Stick it to Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I thought that was funny because maybe he's going to be a Coke guy too while the Cowboys are Pepsi now. So,
but I wonder if, like, let's say they franchise Dak and then they have like a really good year, maybe NFC Championship game or Super Bowl or something, then do you think the Cowboys would have to give him whatever he wants? So you think he'd come back knowing the Cowboys would probably match any offer any other team would give
him? He's going to follow the money if we give him the best offer. But it's like, when, like I said, when 40% of our cap is eaten up by seven players, are we going to have the money in our pockets to offer him top money? I don't think so. And I think that I agree with Craig. Like, the Zeke contract is just unreal. Look at what homeboy in Minnesota just signed for, the running back in Minnesota. Dalvin Cook signed for far less than what Zeke signed for, and is way better than Zeke. Like, yeah, way better at today.
But, like, Dalvin, what do we Cook do now, is, though? All those contracts are – all the shitty contracts are signed. Do we cut those guys to sign Dak?
Well, the problem was not, you know, paying your quarterback X amount is what – the problem is you didn't have that figure locked in. These, you know, Wentz, Goff, these – teams sign their deals, you know, at the time, you're like, oh my God, that's crazy numbers. But no, they want to lock in that number so they can plan the rest of the contracts. But while the Cowboys haven't done that, they've signed, you know, Cooper, Lawrence, Jalen Smith, and all these other guys, which is fine, sign them, but you still don't know that variable of Dak's contract. You can't plan, you can't project your future salary cap issues when you have this unknown, what are we going to pay Dak? You should have already locked it in. It's 40 year. All right, now we know how to build our roster from there.
Yeah, and the sad thing is we could have signed Dak like 30 a year a couple years ago. Like, if they would have wanted to sign him a couple years ago, you could have gone for cheap, and now the fucking price is fucking double, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we offered him 35 last year, but it was like a five-year deal, 35 or 37 and a half. But the caveat was like the 5 year versus 4 year, and ultimately it was the no franchise tag clause that Dak's camp wanted, and Jerry, I think that threw a curveball at Jerry because that was kind of his ace in the hole, was being able to franchise tag him if they don't agree on something. But
He also wants 4 years because the TV right deals are coming up. Yeah. And I believe that the player's salary is all through the TV money. So, that's how the split is, because the league or the teams don't want the players knowing how much of the actual pie that they get with parking, concessions, seat tickets. They keep all that private. They're private entities. They don't have to divulge that. So all the money you see that players get the divvy from is just from TV money, which is bizarre to me. But that's what they're fighting over. And the deal comes up here in 2 or 3 years. Well, I'll sign a 4 year deal, see what the TV deal is, and that pie will grow larger.
Yeah, the QB market is just continuing to get more and more inflated. Because prior to the season, I would have told you that Dak's a better quarterback than Deshaun. And then when Deshaun signs for, what, $38 million a year, I'm just like, fuck, now Dak's number went from 32 with the I think Jared Goff or Kirk Cousins or somebody that signed for 32 a year to 37.5. Like, it's like that you're right, we should have done it a long time ago. And the likelihood of it happening now, I see a 3-year deal possibly, like mostly guaranteed. But if that happens, we're going to have to let go of some talent, you know, and that may or may not be Zeke.
It just prevents you from future planning of your team and drafting. And when you don't know what you're going to give your the guy who's going to eat up the largest chunk of your salary cap, you can't plan for, all right, we're going to have to draft this guy's replacement this coming year. All these different things, because you haven't done this, and it leaves a big hole in trying to project your future rosters.
Do you guys think that gets signed
before the start? I'd like to think he does. Even if it's a 3-year deal, like I'm kind of just tired of talking about it or seeing the headlines of back and forth negotiations. When what are they really arguing over? Like who? Someone's being stubborn, and I imagine it's the Cowboys ownership.
I could see that. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I do. Just because of the salary cap that we have available. You know, I think we're top 10 in the league for available salary cap this year. Is that correct?
I don't know.
I'm looking now. I think we're at 13th in the league for cap space available. We've been making too many moves. We made a lot of moves, if you all remember, late in the season last year to free up space, you know. I think that was all in preparation to get Dak signed, but it's just a matter of to what number and if we can actually make it happen and at what cost, you know. Does Anthony Brown go bye-bye? Who's willing to restructure their contracts? And who do we cut? And we have to be smart about who we cut, because dead money is dead money. We're still going to have to pay that, and that still goes against the cap, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So, I mean, I wish we could just cut Zeke and say, see you later, bud. But it's just I don't think it works like that, you know?
I think they can't cut Zeke till next year. I think it doesn't make sense until the following year to cut Zeke.
Yeah, his deal officially expires 2027. But he's guaranteed 50 million of his 90 million. Probably next year is when that's a more size or a easier number for them to digest. But it's more about you got Van Der Esch coming up. It's more about the guys you're not going to be able to keep that you would keep. That's the problem. You know, if you already had Dak done, you know, hey, you know, Diggs has played well for him, we're going to make sure we keep him. You can plan these things, you know, but instead you're always going to be relying on, you know, patchwork, especially on the defensive end. And you lose that balance.
Yeah. I think we don't sign him. I think he gets franchise tagged this year, and then we'll kind of just see how that season goes. And then it'll be the same thing fucking next year, probably.
Yeah.
Ultimately, yeah, I have to agree with that too. I know I just said I think we get a deal done. I just don't think it'll be a deal that Dak likes. And he's got leverage right now, whether, I mean, his bum ankle or not. He's still got leverage, because what did we do without him? Even with a –